Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. You know, I couldn't possibly start today's show without expressing my sincere thanks to David French, Vice President of Government Relations at the International Franchise Association. David, as you know, was my guest last week as we discussed the IFA's new FranGuard program. FranGuard's a very hot topic of discussion these days, as evident by the very large number of franchise professionals that listened live last Thursday or downloaded the podcast and or accessed the show on demand over the weekend on Blog Talk Radio. If you have yet to listen to last week's show or any previous Franchise Today show, they're all available as podcasts or on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetoday. On the site, be sure to scroll down past the introduction and each show will be listed accordingly. For more information on FranGuard, please check out the IFA site at www.franchise.org or check out Franchise Essentials site at www.fmdpro.com, as we'll have another article about FranGuard posted shortly. I'd also like to take this opportunity once again to inform our listeners of a new radio show being launched in April, Franchise News Radio. As they announced last week, the new show will find us providing opinion and commentary on franchise news as we see it in press releases, news articles, interviews, radio shows, and yes, within social media as well. The 15-minute show will start out as a weekly show and eventually will evolve into a daily show. Our long-time goal is to actually present the show live twice a day as well as broadcast live from many key franchise events. For more details on that, please follow Franchise News Radio on Twitter at Fran News Radio. Your thoughts, comments, and suggestions are always appreciated. Next week on Franchise Today, we'll have as our guest Lizette Pirtle, the CEO at Expansion Experts, and Matt Kelly, CEO at Sell Again. Our topic of discussion will focus on starting a franchise company and the obstacles young franchisors face. It should certainly be a very exciting show as Lizette and Matt share their insight and practical experience. I noticed that the Franchise King posted his top 10 franchise blogs, and my Franchise Essential blog was not included. Guess I'll have to try harder for future inclusion in such an elite group. Hey, take a look at the LinkedIn Franchise Sales Group and check out the heated discussion going on under the topic, "What do you do about portal sites that improperly use your brand to generate franchise leads for their own benefit?" Last I checked, there were 38 comments, some that are right on the mark, some that are obviously double talk, and some that are, well, let's just call them bullshit. Speaking of which, recently I pointed out to the franchise community on a number of social media, including various LinkedIn franchise groups, an article on about.com. That article is about franchisors and bankruptcy. Having worked with a franchisor that was forced into bankruptcy, I knew the article was way off base, the alleged facts entirely inaccurate, and the suggestions by the author directed at franchisees alarming, to say the least. Certainly, if anybody knows me, they knew I couldn't sit back with a clear conscience thinking that franchisees may act on this information. Since then, Dan Daskowski, the person listed as the author of the article, How to Prepare for Franchisor's Bankruptcy, contacted me and explained his position in the matter. He said, "Hi, Paul, thanks for pointing this out to me. This was totally my fault because I hired a writer that felt was knowledgeable in this area to write this article and blog post, and they obviously were not. As an About.com guide, I'm able to hire subcontractors to write, and I only do this from time to time when I feel someone is more qualified than I am to cover a certain topic." He goes on to say, "Obviously, I made a bad judgment call with this writer. I'm glad you pointed it out. I have taken down the article and blog post to avoid any future confusion, and so I do not mislead any franchisees that are currently in this situation. I understand your frustration, but I think you took it a little far in your blog post." He goes on to point out, "Read Mr. Daskowski's bio and tell me if you believe he has the experience and knowledge to render legal advice about franchising, bankruptcy, or anything. I have deleted the incorrect information from about.com, and it would be great if you can delete this post as well. I'm fully aware I do not have the experience to give legal advice, but the rest just seems like a personal attack. Well, here was my eloquent response to Mr. Daskowski. I said, my only goal in writing my post is to point out and emphasize the misinformation provided in your article, as information published on the Internet has the capability, if not the probability, of lasting forever. I wanted to be certain there was no mistake. The information provided in the article was inaccurate and that you could not possibly be mistaken for an attorney. You stated to me you felt I took the issue a little too far and personally attacked you. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I do not regret my actions and statements, as they were obviously instrumental in addressing inaccurate information and unwarranted advice that could have been catastrophic to any franchise system facing bankruptcy. I went on to say, speaking from experience, I have seen franchisees blindly follow similarly wrong advice as provided in your article, only to be ordered by a United States bankruptcy judge to remit all withheld royalty payments to the franchisor within 5 days of his decision. Unfortunately, many of the franchisees had already spent the monies that should have been earmarked for 8 months' worth of royalties, causing a near-catastrophic series of events. As they had come up with thousands of dollars they no longer had in their possession, the potential consequence for not abiding by the order was actually contempt of court and possible jail time. When all was said and done, the franchise system unraveled, and franchisees that may have survived even as independents ended up out of business or, ironically, in bankruptcy. As for the brand and trademark, as well as the franchise agreements, as I recall, they were considered assets of the franchisor and subsequently within the jurisdiction of the bankruptcy trustee. So, Mr. Daskowski, I was about to say thank you for pulling down the article to avoid further communication, but I did find out just moments before the show that the article is still live, although albeit in a separate section of About.com. So please take it down so as to further avoid confusion and prevent franchisees that are currently in a bankruptcy situation from being misled. Somehow or another, I don't think we've heard the last of this. Actually, I'd like to extend an invitation to Mr. Daskowski to appear on a future episode of Franchise Today. Maybe we could look at some other hot topics, such as the one I mentioned earlier about franchise portals or maybe franchise brokers. I believe these are topics he may actually know something about, but might not be willing to share his information or knowledge. Well, let's move on to something exciting. Today's guests on Franchise Today are both considered guerrilla marketers and have spent a great deal of their time focused on franchisees and small business owners. Guerrilla Marketing Strategies, Inc. CEO Todd Woods co-authored the book Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees and Other Small Businesses with the father of guerrilla marketing, J. Conrad Levinson. The company provides workshops and webinars to help train franchisees and small and medium-sized business operators on how to use basic, understandable techniques to market their businesses more effectively and efficiently. Guerrilla marketing helps to demystify marketing concepts, principles, and techniques. Todd is an Arizona-based entrepreneur and former multi-unit franchise owner. He used guerrilla marketing techniques and self-initiative to dramatically improve his franchise performance. And as I said, Todd joined forces with the father of guerrilla marketing, J. Conrad Levinson, to co-write the book Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees and Other Small Businesses, but also co-authored the book Customer Service, Some People Just Don't Get It, with his father, Trapper Woods. Todd is a third-generation entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and author, and may be followed on Twitter at MKTGEffectively, Marketing Effectively on Twitter. Joining us today as well is Eddie Leonard. Now, Eddie and I met via social media early last year. Since then, I follow Eddie on Twitter at GMKTG. As anyone who follows Eddie will attest, his wit and cynicism is second to none. On the flip side, Eddie tweets some very pertinent information and advice that franchisees should be quick to embrace. A native Chicagoan and current Arizona resident, Eddie has managed a post-sports business career of a retired Hall of Fame baseball player, headed up marketing for Six Flags theme parks, and then served as senior vice president of brand and promotions at America Online. He's currently a freelance marketing consultant and certified guerrilla marketing strategies trainer and marketer. So, without further ado, Todd, Eddie, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Hey, Paul.
How are you? Yeah, I wish you would stop with those capital letters of GMKTG. I always have a problem typing them in and going to capitals.
I don't think you have to type in capitals. I'm just screaming.
Nah, I don't think we do. I don't think we do. You know, it's really great having you guys on the show, and it's also great communicating with you guys through social media. Todd, what exactly is a guerrilla marketer?
Well, guerrilla marketing is basically another way of saying marketing creatively. Guerrilla marketing originally was designed back in the 80s by J. Conrad Levinson as a way for smaller companies to compete with the big companies. A way to use fewer dollars to increase our business. And, of course, these days, can't we all use that? Basically, you know, the emphasis is on thinking outside the box, using unconventional means to market, but it's evolved into not just, you know, a lot of times people think we need to be in street theater, dressing up in costumes, being out there to be considered guerrilla marketers. That's not the case. Basically, just a way to market effectively through using fewer dollars. So
what's the primary difference between guerrilla marketing and traditional marketing?
Traditional marketing it really focuses on a lot of the traditional things, you know, the media, radio, television, direct mail, door hangers, and so forth. Guerrilla marketing really challenges us to think outside the box and find different ways to get people's attention. The sign spinners out on the street, ways to tap into community events, ways to collaborate with other businesses to grow our own business, which is a huge marketing push these days and very effective. Eddie, what would you
say? I had somebody say to me the other day, guerrilla marketing, and right away they envisioned and actually stated to me of somebody walking around in a guerrilla costume trying to market until I explained to them. I said, no. It's guerrilla, GUERILLA, not guerrilla like the ape or the animal.
That's right, yeah, and we get that still every once in a while. You know, back in the 80s there was, you know, originally when it came out, you know, we weren't in the middle of a long war and so forth, and there were, you know, a lot of correlations with tactical warfare and so forth. We try and stay away from that, you know, these days in the sensitive climate. However, the premise is the same. How does a small company compete with a large company and do that creatively, spending less money?
Yes. You know, it seems like everyone in business, or at least the ones with a heartbeat, have heard about guerrilla marketing and the many books written about it in one way, shape, fashion, or form. You know, many know the father of guerrilla marketing, J. Conrad Levinson. Most, I assume, would give their firstborn to co-author a book with him. So how'd you do it? How'd you come to co-author a book with the father of guerrilla marketing?
I got to be honest with you. It was definitely a highlight of my life, dear friends with Jay. Basically, I was a franchisee myself. I set out to bring a franchise to the Valley of Phoenix called Jamba Juice Fruit Smoothies. Like many young and new franchisees, I was excited about it and had a really hard time getting this thing launched. I at that time in 1997 really didn't understand just how much marketing we need to do on a daily basis, and I struggled and barely got this thing off the ground. I mean, we were next to closing our doors. I was up at night with the sweats and you know, woke up with a pit in my stomach the size of a watermelon. And it was miserable for a long time. And then I ran across Jay's book, the original version of Guerrilla Marketing. And I, too, thought, what the heck is guerrilla marketing? And pictured, you know, an ape or, you know, gorilla. And then I saw the camouflage and so forth, and it got my attention. And I ended up sitting in the bookstore reading about half that book in one sitting. And it just grabbed me and helped me realize a lot of the things that I wasn't doing correctly. Helped me realize that, you know, we can't just try a marketing strategy once and expect phenomenal results. That's what I'd do. I'd look for the one-hit wonder. I'd try something. I'd advertise the movie theater. If that didn't work, I'd try direct mail. If that didn't work, I'd go to the high schools. If that didn't work, and I bounced everywhere, and just it was not consistent. So the short of it is, after 8 to 9 years of growing this into, you know, 5 stores and really mastering guerrilla marketing, I had the opportunity to sell that franchise and wanted to go out and speak and wanted to go out and write a book. So I called Jay, and I said, your book, the principles therein, changed my life forever, which they did. I attribute most of my success to the principles learned in guerrilla marketing. And we just hit it off, and I went and spent 5 days with them in Florida, and we wrote the book, and it was great. He's very genuine,
well,
very cool guy.
Well, that's awesome. You mentioned about guerrilla marketing, and I asked you earlier about the difference between that and traditional marketing. Are the principles the same in that you still had to sit down and write a marketing strategy, albeit a guerrilla marketing strategy?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. When it comes to marketing plans, there's, you know, we see all types of variations. You know, you see the thick, you know, marketing books that people write, and there's a lot of software that people use and plug in their own information, and they end up with these thick books that end up just sitting on the shelf gathering dust. We have, you know, found a way, and Jay taught me how to write a 7-step marketing plan that actually is very effective, very usable. And we teach that all the time every week when we're, you know, working with different companies, because we have to have a plan. It's got to be a strategy. We teach people that we need to be using at least 5 to 10 different marketing tools at once. So social media would be one. You know, door hangers would be one. Feet in the street would be one. Sign spinning would be one. You know, strategic partnerships and so forth. That's one of the things that I really didn't understand in the beginning, is just how many avenues we need to be using. And people always, you know, I've been out looking for the magic wand, the one silver bullet that will really, you know, crank up a business. It's not out there, Paul. I don't know. Maybe you found it. But we found that basically the silver bullet is marketing combinations. And that's one thing with a marketing plan. We need to map out what are the tools we use, and then actually take those, put them onto a marketing calendar, and break it down to a very, you know, specific, what are we doing this week in our marketing focus. And the more simple we make that, the more executable it becomes. It's not that people don't know what to do. They just have a hard time doing it.
Right. Well, you know, one of the reasons why, probably the primary reason I asked the question about still, you know, sitting down and actually coming up with a marketing strategy, albeit a guerrilla marketing strategy in this case, I have found working with franchisees for almost 25 years now that many of them would look at this as a way of shortcutting and saying, oh, at least I don't have to do all that other stuff. I'll just run out and do this. So I'm glad you emphasize it still has to be done according to a plan, and it has to be thought out in order to be absolutely executed effectively. Eddie.
Can I just add one more thing to that, Paul?
Sure, go right ahead.
Time, you know, one of the things that we like to emphasize is, you know, we like to demystify marketing. I think there's this aura out there that, wow, marketing, and I don't know much about it, you know, and marketing, you know, there's a lot of different aspects and facets, but really at the end of the day, it comes down to choosing things, you know, that work for your particular business, and putting them in that plan and getting them done. And, you know, because when we look at growing a business, franchise business, I mean, man, it's tough. You know, being in business is challenging every day. And we can't just, you know, eat the whole elephant at once. We've got to break it down into bite-sized pieces and just really, you know, and anyone can do it. So go ahead.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and I agree, but you made a key statement in there, or used a couple of key words in there, at least from my perspective, and that was every day. It's not something that can be done once, you know, do it for a couple of days and let it sit for 30 or 45 days and try something again. Something needs to be done every single day in order to make it in business, especially making it in business in today's economic environment. I'm sure you'd agree with that, right?
Absolutely. Every day. It's like exercise, man. It's like, you know what, I don't like to exercise all the time, and getting up at 5 in the morning sucks. You know, let's be honest. It's tough. But, you know, marketing is like exercise. We all know we need to do it. It's good for our health, and marketing is the same. It's essential for the health of our business. But it's one of those things where we can put to the side. It doesn't scream at us every day like the phone does or a screaming customer. It's like, and so it's easy to put off. But every day, I have friends that, you know, we talk to each other, you know, every couple times a week and say, hey, man, what are you doing today to build your business? What are you doing right now to build your business? And just help keep each other accountable. I think that's key.
Right. It's funny how many, and actually sad, how many franchisees think that they're doing something every day for their business. And I know a lot of times when I ask them, I say, well, what'd you do today to help grow your business? Well, you know, I handled customers at the counter. I made sure the door was open. I made sure the employees were in place. Yeah, but what'd you do to improve the business, to generate more business come into the business so that everybody stays busy? And they think that because they work hard at getting things done, a lot of times they avoid the marketing aspect. It's, yeah, I'll get out tomorrow. I'll get out next week. My wife's going to get out. Yeah, you need to get out day in and day out and promote their business.
Absolutely key.
Eddie, from managing the sports, the post-sports business career of Major League Baseball Hall of Famer to heading up marketing at Six Flags theme parks all the way to serving as senior VP at America Online. Wow. From playing ball to Bugs Bunny to You've Got Mail, how did you become involved in guerrilla marketing?
Well, it sounds like I couldn't keep a job, eh? But
nah.
You've Got Mail.
Long time, spent
That's
a long time
nickname,
at each
man.
One of those
You've
positions.
Got Mail.
You got mail. And by the way, before I get any nasty letters, I am not the one who sent those CDs to your house.
Okay.
Get out of the way. I was the brand guy at America Online, and I was fortunate enough to get out of the company at the right time, cash out my stock options before they kind of went downward. And I was, you know, sitting at home and needed something to do, and I got a call from a guy that, who used to run AOL named Bob Pittman, and he had just bought a franchise company and said, you know, these people need your expertise, so why don't you come in and be one of our trainers? And I picked up that client and a couple of other clients, and I was doing some consulting work, mostly doing educating of franchisees. And I found a commonality in the groups that I presented to. And one of the commonalities is people saying to me, gee, you know what, you said it, Paul. I'm too busy running my business to market my business. And it's like, what an odd thing to say. And I came back and said, you know, if you're too busy running your business to run your business, then in effect you're not the owner of the business, you're an employee. You need to find, as the boss, the time to do the things that are absolutely essential to grow your business. And, you know, if you own a restaurant and all you're doing is talking to customers and washing dishes and frying up food, again, you're not the owner of a restaurant, you're an employee. You need to step back, you need to find somebody else to do those daily jobs, and you need to get busy on the tasks of growing your business. And marketing your business every day is one of those essential tasks. I also found that a lot of franchisees said, gee, marketing is too difficult. I didn't buy this franchise to get into the marketing business. I bought it to get into, you know, whatever business it is, whether it be fitness or a restaurant or, you know, mufflers or whatever it is. They say, I'm not a marketing person. Well, you know, then I found a friend of mine turned me on to Todd's and Jay's book, and I saw in the book a very simple approach to marketing a franchise. And it doesn't take somebody, you know, to use a mixed metaphor, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to do this. It really is simple. If you sit down and, you know, Todd's method of writing a 7-step marketing plan, you can do that in one afternoon and then go out and start implementing. And then the other commonality that I found among the franchisees was a belief that the franchisor is responsible for marketing 100%. Now, you know, let's acknowledge the fact that franchisors do have a responsibility to present the brand and to market the brand on a national or even a larger regional basis. But on a local level for your individual franchise, you have the daily responsibility to do your local marketing. So, again, I read Todd's book. I said, guys, this guy is saying the same things that I'm saying to franchisees. I called Todd up and said, hey, why don't you come out and speak to our annual convention? And he came out, and everyone loved what he had to say. And not only did they love what he had to say, a few people actually took it to heart and went out and implemented. And I could see a change in their attitude. I could see a change in their business in terms of sales. And not only that, they were reducing costs, you know, and they were no longer pointing the finger and going, it's their fault, it's the market's, you know, the market's down, the economy's bad, my franchisor is not supporting me. They started actually looking in the mirror and saying, okay, what am I doing today? As you guys have said, what am I doing today to market my business? So that's how I got involved in it. And then, you know, Todd and I got together, similar to how he met Jay Conrad Levinson. And I, you know, became a certified marketing trainer, guerrilla marketing trainer, and he and I have been out and done multiple presentations to franchise organizations and small business groups. And again, a lot of what Todd has to say is not very complex. It's common sense kind of things. But you know what? When you get involved in a franchise and you have to run a business every day, sometimes common sense leaves your mind. And what Todd is able to do is remind you of the basic things that you need to do to market and grow your business.
Right, absolutely. You know, I know, Eddie, you and I have talked in the past, and we've communicated a lot in social media, and you know I often get real worked up about franchisees needing to get off their asses and making things happen. And actually, I preach my own, you know, get off your ass marketing, and happy to say the trademark is pending on that. But, you know, my approach is more attitude and about what's inside franchisees that make them tick and move forward, or in essence, get off their ass. Now, I know guerrilla marketing for franchisees is both strategic and tactical, and much of that is covered in the guerrilla marketing workshops and webinars. Todd, please explain some of the detail covered in those fine programs.
Well, like I mentioned, first of all, we get into defining, you know, what is the difference, you know, between regular marketing and guerrilla marketing, and really explore the fact that we really need to be using both. And effective marketing comes down to actually choosing the right things that work for our industry, and depending on who the audience is and so forth, we focus down on that. I would say the majority of these workshops, we get into some specific guerrilla marketing tools. How do you execute on these things? If you want to do some fundraising with schools, what are some things you can do? And I think people will be blown away at the avenues that are out there for us that we can do for free. There are, hundreds of different guerrilla marketing tactics. We use, we put 100 in our book, and since, while it was being published, added another 25, and there's a lot. But, for example, just getting into schools, there's people doing, homework folders and providing to the school for free, and they've got businesses listed on them, and get tons of exposure, and it's all it is the cost of printing. There's fundraisers in a lot of different ways. There's different ways to get involved with Little Leagues, and we teach people how to guerrillatize their marketing. For example, if I'm a business and I'm trying to get some local play, and I sponsor the Little League team. Well, a lot of us do that, and we've done that in the past, and we might have our business name on the back of a shirt. Or we might have a banner in the outfield. And Eddie and I teach people, we say, look, why not really take this to the next level? If you're going to spend the money by doing that, why not get with the snack bar who is doing what? They need to raise money. Why not go to them and say, hey, do you sell bottled water? Yes, we do. Well, my company would like to donate bottled water for the next 3 games so that you can get 100% profit off your bottled water. All we ask in return is, we're going to put our business label on the water itself, and in exchange for that, gosh, would you mind handing out some of our vouchers or coupons during those games, here at the snack bar? Doing a lot of those things that will give us more exposure. We've already bought the sponsorship. We might as well get a lot of those extra perks for free. So we explore a lot of the things in detail. We go through the 7-step marketing plan. We talk about accountability. Paul, it was the day that I decided that I was not going to rely on the franchisor to grow my business. I realized, I was on my own locally. I really needed to do it, and I stopped coming up with excuses. And, in the book, we've got a picture of a guy standing there pointing at all the reasons why his franchise isn't working, and that was me. I said, well, gosh, it's too cold. I can't sell smoothies, or I'm in a bad location, or I've got cash flow problems, or my franchisor is not doing anything for me, and we cry about it a little bit. Fact is that once I took 100% accountability and responsibility, that's when things started to turn. So we talk about those things and how it's not again, it's not rocket science like Eddie said. I mean, it's doing a lot of the basics and doing them well and doing them on a regular basis. Those are some of the things. Eddie, what else we hit?
I'd just like to add 2 things. First of all, I said rocket surgery. And secondly,
I wasn't going to let that get away, Eddie. You know that.
I knew you wouldn't. Speaking of sarcastic. Anyway, I want to add that, you know, what Todd said, we don't have a canned spiel. We don't have a canned presentation that we give to every organization that's word for word. We work with the franchise organization, with the franchisor or the small business organization, and we tailor our presentations to the needs of the individuals within that organization. And that's one of my jobs, is to, you know, get with the group ahead of time and find out what it is they need, what business that they're in, and then we tailor our presentation. The other thing that the franchisor should know is we're not anti-franchisor. We're very much pro-franchisor. We help support their training methods and content. What we're doing essentially is saying, don't throw out what the franchisor is giving you. Use that as one of the tools in your tool chest, and then add to that. And then, you know, we're able to show the franchisee how to better utilize what the franchisor is giving them.
Absolutely.
It's sad to see franchisees and franchisors not getting along, and we see this all the time. And we understand that sometimes, you know, there's issues and things where, you know, people, franchisee might get hurt. But look, here's the deal. You know, we need to pull up the bootstraps. We need to say, look, this is our livelihood. This is our business. We need to take ownership for it. Let's work together, do the very best job we can, because the franchisor has the model. We believe in sharing with others. Get with other successful franchisees. The very first thing I would do if I hadn't done it already is get with the leaders in your particular franchise. You know, what are they doing? You know, put your pride aside and say, teach me. You know, what can I do that you're doing? And too many times we look at competing with each other. We're not, man. We're building the brand together. Whether it be, you know, I'm in California or Ohio or Alabama, wherever it is, we're building the brand together. Let's share best of the best practices.
Absolutely. That's extremely important. You know, I love that one chapter in your book. If anybody doesn't know the name of it, again, it's Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees and Small Business Owners. But the one chapter that I really like is The Buck Stops Here, and I think you just emphasized that. And there's too many franchisees that you know, want to pass the blame and push the responsibility away from themselves. But the next chapter you talk about is execute and take action. And as we know, it's very hard sometimes to stick a firecracker you know where and get franchisees to get off their ass and make things happen. What have you found that works in getting franchisees to, you know, execute and take action?
Eddie, do you want to take that, or you want me to take that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, when they do take action, they realize, you know, kind of Todd talked about exercise, and a lot of people make excuses for why they don't exercise, and the number one excuse is, I don't have the time. Well, then when they start making the time, they realize, you know what, that was an excuse. I had the time all along. I was spending my time doing things that perhaps I shouldn't have been doing, someone else should have been doing. So one of the things that I think franchisees realize is they can carve out the necessary time. If you spend 1 hour a day not doing what some of the things that you are doing in your business now and focus that effort and that energy on marketing, you'll be amazed after a few months what you can accomplish. I'm sorry, what was the original question? I forgot it.
No, just, you know, what does it take to get them, you know, off their butts and take action and follow through with it?
Well, I think Todd's story, you know, one of the things that Todd shares is not only is he teaching them something that he's read, he's teaching them something that he has done. He's been a franchisee, so he's speaking from practical experience. And when you tell them that kind of says to them, gee, you know, maybe I can do it too. And again, after just a short time, they start to see some results, and results really encourage them to go forward. It really gets them off their butts and gets them out and doing things. And the other thing that we emphasize is the, you know, relative simplicity of doing the marketing for your business. It is not that complex. And when people realize, gee, I can do it, and I can carve out the time and look at this, it's starting to work. It starts to snowball, and people start to feel good about themselves. They start to feel good about their franchise and their franchise business.
Eddie's exactly right. There's, you know, I wrote an article once called Mark Endorphins, and I created the word, it's patent pending, trademark pending too, Paul. but Mark Endorphins, man, it, you know, when I was big into exercise a while back and trying to get back in, but I was doing triathlons, and I just realized that, you know what, as hard as it is to get up early and exercise, You know, it takes me about 20 minutes to get into my groove when I'm out on a run or, you know, on a bike ride. And it's not any easier the next day. It's always that first 20 minutes, at least for me. And then what happens? My endorphins kick in, that chemical reaction in the brain. My muscles warm up, and then I can go and go and go. And it's the same thing with marketing, like Eddie alluded to. You know, this when we get, you know, a small success, we need to build on that. In sales training, you know, from the best of the best that I've studied, they all say the same. The best time to go prospecting is after you've made a sale. Why? Because your energy's up, because your confidence is up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with marketing. The other thing that we were really successful with was getting our team members involved. You know, we had in a retail type situation, you know, we had a lot of teenagers and college kids. We involved them in our marketing. We got them dressing up as bananas and you know, strawberries out on the street corners and going business to business. We gave them, we empowered them and made it part of their responsibility. When we hired them, we said, you know, your job is not only to serve and make and serve the best smoothies ever, but it is also to help create the brand and help market. And that fires everybody up. And, you know, I leaned on that. I have bad days. You know, I have a lot of them sometimes. You know, I wake up every morning. I got to pump myself up, you know, even today, every day. And we do that through just, you know, doing what we know we need to do. Get the market orphans flowing, man. Get the energy going and build on successes. And just do it. That's what we got
to
do.
I think I'd like to add, too, that when franchisees realize the two magic words in marketing, and they are reach and frequency. A lot of franchisees get frustrated and burned out because they try something once. Todd mentioned this earlier. You know, I tried this ad in the newspaper and nobody called, so I got frustrated. I stopped doing that. I put, you know, a few ads on the radio and it didn't work, so I stopped doing that. Well, eventually you're going to burn out all of your possible sources of marketing, and you're also going to burn yourself out. When you start to realize that all marketing, and this doesn't matter what business you're in, is based on the concepts of reach and frequency. How many people can I reach with each one of my messages, whether that message be through traditional media, social media, and networking, or just, you know, feet on the street? It's about how many people you can reach and how often you can reach them. You know, in Todd's book, he talks about the magic number 9, that you have to reach people at least 9 times before they even start to pay attention to you. That's the good news. The bad news is 1 out of every 3 times that you try is when you're getting through to them. So really, it's going to take 27 times before you're reaching that threshold of effectiveness. Most franchisees, as I say, will try something once, twice, get frustrated, and walk away. When you teach them that reach and frequency is necessary, it really empowers them to go forward and to keep on trying.
Paul, that's the page in the book when I was reading Jay's book, you know, in 1999 or so. When I heard how many times we need to get in front of people, I was so frustrated already, I wanted to cry. And I don't cry much. Eddie? I'm tough. But the
I've
fact is...
I've only seen you do it 3 or 4 times.
the fact is this. Look, here's the numbers. We all know, Paul, Eddie, we know the studies are out there. It's on average, the average person in the United States is exposed to 25 to 2,700 media messages every day, 25 to 2,700 media messages a day, from radio to billboard to, everything that we see, the direct mail, and so forth. And when a lot of people, you know, think if they're in the pest control business, their competition is fellow pest control companies, or in the hamburger business, it's other hamburger companies. You know what the competition is? My latest message is this. We're really competing against all the other media that's out there, all the other people that are doing marketing. We're busy, man. We're going faster and faster, busier and busier, and we are trying to gain market share in our customers' and prospects' mind. It's so busy that we need to cut through the clutter. And as Eddie mentioned, the only way to do that is through reach and frequency. Get out there more often in front of people. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Too many of them don't.
If anyone wants a some sample paragraph, I'm sorry, sample chapters of the book, we're happy to supply that free of charge. You know, we don't come at you with solicitations or put you on a database and bombard you constantly. Please tweet me at GMKTG. It's short for Guerrilla Marketing, GMKTG on Twitter. Or go to our website at gmarketingstrategies.com. Send me an email, and I'm happy to send you a sample copy of the book.
Great. And it is really a good book. It's an easy read. It's a good book. It's great for reference. You know, guerrilla marketing, you know, people could look at it as being, you know, a very harsh term. You know, just like when I talked to them about get off your ass marketing, they say, well, you know, wait, that's very abrasive and abrupt. And I tell them, well, you know, so is losing your life savings. So, you know, you need to start, you know, looking at things in that light, because you don't want to go down the road of losing life savings. And it would really hit home in your book, Todd, on this is the success concept 9, building consent with soft steps. It doesn't always have to be very abrupt and very aggressive. Explain a little bit about those soft steps that you refer to.
Well, in today's environment especially, it's so easy to get people's permission to market to them. For example, you know, whatever your business, come up with a newsletter, have them follow your, you know, your tweets or follow you on Facebook. If you're not too computer savvy, that's fine. Get somebody in your organization that is. You know, we don't need to know everything and do everything ourselves. We can get people to help us with that. But the fact is that, you know, there's say you've got a summer camp that you're trying to sell people on. It's very expensive. You know, one of the first things might be, hey, call in for a free video on this summer camp. And, you know, that's a soft step, giving somebody a free video, or giving people, just like Eddie did just now, it's a perfect example. He's giving people, you know, a few chapters of a book you're trying to sell, or a sample of your product, or, even your food. If you're a restaurant owner, it's perfect. You know, invite people in for an absolutely free appetizer, knowing that once they taste your stuff, they're going to buy more and be back for more. So, you know, using soft steps to sell is getting people on newsletter lists. We do a lot of work with companies recently. We've got a tile and grout cleaning company that sells, you know, opportunities there. And I say, look, you know, even in that business, get a newsletter out quarterly, whether it's through a service like Constant Contact or, you know, an email newsletter, or even just a snail mail newsletter. And people are saying, well, what am I going to write? That's, you know, I'm not a writer. What am I going to write that's even compelling? It doesn't matter. Get in front of the people. Give them some success tips. Give them, you know, 3 things they can do to extend the life of their tile and grout by cleaning it regularly or something. They just need to see our name, Paul. And as you know, that it's just little by little, that's how brands are built, is getting out in front of people. So getting permission. If you do not have a database of customers, or of prospects, start today and get one, because that's gold. We need to be able to go out and market to people. It takes people multiple times, and if someone doesn't buy right away, if we're in front of them on a regular basis in a soft way that's not annoying, eventually they'll come around and buy.
Yep. You know, another thing I love about your book, because a lot of times franchisees, as Eddie said, you know, I wasn't in this to, you know, be a marketing guy or anything like that. And what I've found great about your book is you're not just, you know, pushing down somebody's throat about the marketing and the marketing and the marketing and the how-to, but, you know, some of the reasons behind it. I know in Concept 10, you talk about, you know, the reason why people buy. And I think it's giving franchisees that understanding of knowing why people buy, what makes them tick in their buying decision, really helps. What have you found in working with franchisees? I mean, is this a weak point that they have in understanding what makes people tick and what makes people buy?
What are your thoughts, Eddie?
Well, I was just going to throw out, and I think this dovetails perfectly, the marketing terminology, to add to what Todd was saying, is top-of-mind awareness. You know, there's a misunderstanding about how marketing works. Franchisees, many of them think that you put an ad out there and people respond immediately. They see your ad on TV or hear it on the radio, or they see your tweet on Twitter. Whatever it is, they think that there's an immediate response, and in reality, that's not how it works. It's about top-of-mind awareness. And what top-of-mind awareness is, getting your name in people's heads so that when they are ready to buy your particular product or service, yours is the name that they think of. So the word that really is tough to deliver to most franchisees is patience. You know, and I hear back all the time, patience, how long is that going to take? And you may have seen me post that on Twitter a couple of times. But the reality is you can't expect one ad or one tweet or one postcard of any kind to immediately spark a response. You just have to keep bombarding and bombarding so that when the consumer is ready for your product, yours is the name that immediately comes to their mind.
You know, why do people go to Starbucks? You know, is it because the coffee is so great? Well, yeah, it's good coffee, but, you know, I would say most people, because it's a culture, they've created a culture, a place to hang out. There's comfort in that. You know, why do people buy ice cream? Well, there's a lot of different reasons, but for the most part, you could probably narrow it down to, you know, people like to celebrate. They're celebrating fun times, fun events. You know, it's comfort food. I mean, right now, if people own an ice cream shop, you know, you would think that sales would be going down right now. If you own a massage place, you would think sales might be going down because people have less money to spend on those, say, indulgences. I would probably argue the fact that now is the perfect time to really, really get people in. And, you know, people are stressed out, man. When I'm stressed out, I like to eat ice cream myself, you know, and that's a battle I constantly have. I love ice cream. but find out why people buy, why they come to your place of business, and then capitalize on that. And use that in your marketing. Find out, you know, what is it people buy. You know, to that example with ice cream places, I've been in places, there's two places, different brands in my own community. And there's one that we go into occasionally because I've got five kids and two like one place and three like the other. There's one place that's dismal. There's no experience. It's just the ice cream. The place I like to go is fun. It's happy. It's a happy place because guess what? When I take my kids out for ice cream, it's because I'm rewarding them for doing something. And so whatever our brand is, whatever made that brand great, let's not get away from those roots. Too often people get away from the root reason why a brand became successful. Let's make sure that we stick with those things.
Go right ahead, Eddie.
I just want to say thanks to Joseph Caruso for his positive comment on Twitter about this show. He's listening right now, and I guess he's getting some practical and useful advice.
Joseph,
great.
Thank you.
The world of social media.
Sorry, I
often hear from franchisees, you know, I'm kind of introverted. I don't like talking to people. I don't like getting out there. I don't like going to the chamber meetings. I don't like going to the Rotary events. I know I got to do it. And they try to do it, and they push themselves to do it. How important is word-of-mouth marketing within the guerrilla marketing perspective?
Massive. Huge. Word-of-mouth marketing is by far your number one most effective way to market because it's free. You know, unless you have a referral program where you know, you incentivize people to talk about you. But, you know, too often, one of the reasons my dad and I wrote the book, Service Some People Just Don't Get It, is because it dovetails into marketing. Marketing and customer service these days are totally intertwined. And I think there's, you know, I hate to say it, but it seems like in the last 10 years, customer service across the board has really gone down. People have minimized the importance of taking care of current customers. You know what? It's just as important today as it's always been. And too often I see business owners, you know, I've been in multiple restaurants recently where the business owner's working and got an apron on, and you can see the look of fear in his face that he's about to lose everything. It doesn't play well. We've got to put on a happy face, and because that word of mouth, you know, and just that image doesn't go far, but that word of mouth is so important. And I always like to teach people, as well as Eddie and I are always talking about the importance of thank you cards to people. You know, when somebody, you know, and some businesses, it might be hard to do that. You know, you really, it just depends on what business you're in. But giving people a thank you card or a thank you note, thank you phone call, where you're able to do that, is so important. Following up with people, let's say you've got some kind of a service that you provide and you go into people's homes and provide this service, why not call them the next day and see how everything was? People say, well, 9 out of 10 people, when I ask this question, they say, well, a lot of times we don't call because, you know, I don't want to find out if I made a mistake. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, here's the deal, man. If you blow it and you screw up your service, people aren't going to use you anyway. However, your best customers are going to be those that have had a problem and you've addressed it, and you've addressed it unbelievably well. They will become lifelong customers. So word of mouth is huge.
And I just like to add that we've all heard the old saying that knowledge of the disease is half of the cure. Many franchisees say to themselves, as you said, Paul, well, gee, I'm not an outgoing, gregarious person. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a marketing person. Well, you know, congratulations. You have the knowledge of the problem. Now, as the owner of your franchise, you have to do something about it. If you're not going to be the person that you hire to go out and do your marketing because you know that's not your forte, then you need to find somebody who has the gift of gab, somebody that doesn't mind approaching people. But you can't just say to yourself, well, I'm not a marketing person, and then stop. It has to be done. Marketing has to be done to grow your business.
You know what?
Well, you know,
Paul, it's fun. Marketing is fun, and we can make
it.
It
is,
fun.
And it should be fun, and everybody should embrace it as being fun.
Exactly. Instead of looking at it like a chore, it's like it's unbelievably fun. Handing out, you know, coupons and vouchers and stuff, just getting out there. And if you don't love your brand, you know, fall back in love with it, because if you as a business owner don't have it, man, it is not going to go throughout the organization. We have got to fake it till we make it if we don't have that love and passion for it. It just shows.
You know, everyone loves success stories. Eddie, you and I recently shared a guerrilla marketing story about a franchise client of mine that provided sandwiches to junior and senior high school sports teams. In the end, his philanthropy helped double his business at his sandwich franchise, where before, you know, he literally was dying on the vine. Can you tell me a specific success story where a franchisee or franchisees successfully used guerrilla marketing? And, you know, share with me one story.
Todd, you want to take this?
Yeah, you bet. I'll tell you, just from personal experience, you know, one of the things that we did is we decided, you know what, we've got a great product and we need to get it in people's mouths. People used to think a smoothie was like an Orange Julius, which Orange Juliuses are great, but it's a little different. And 10 years ago, people didn't really understand that it's a meal in a cup and that had 3 to 5 servings of fruit and so forth. So what we did was we did an aggressive door hanger campaign within the neighborhood of one of our stores, and we did an absolute free smoothie card on people's doors. There was a little bit of abuse because we did some apartments, and we had some kids coming in with stacks of them. But for the most part, but that was okay because they got addicted, and ultimately, you know, they ended
right.
up coming in after school and so forth. So we got to take the bad with the good. But the fact is that the increase in that store was unbelievable. It was the lowest volume of our 5 stores, and because we were so giving and just giving it absolutely free, and we'd have the store manager freaking out, going, "Man, my cost of goods is going through the roof, and oh my gosh, you know, this is crazy." And I was excited. I was jumping up and down. I'm like, well, look, you know, ultimately it's coming out of my pocket, and I love it. I love it because of the buzz that it created. You know, we did a free smoothie day to benefit Phoenix Children's Hospital. We teamed up with the hospital, and we did a Valley-wide free smoothie day. We got all sorts of free media coverage on TV and on the radio, and we said between 11 and 2 on such and such day, we're giving away full-size smoothies absolutely free. All we ask is that you make a small donation of anything you feel like giving to Phoenix Children's Hospital. Then we went over to Phoenix Children's Hospital dressed up as bananas and strawberries and brought over free smoothies to the kids over there. It was fun. It felt good. I went home that night feeling like we did a great thing for the community, gave away thousands of dollars in free product, but it felt good, and it came back to us. It always does. Those companies that give always end up getting it back. So there's a couple for you.
Got time for one more?
Shoot, go right ahead.
Well, you know, I just like being successful on Twitter, you don't always need to be selling your product directly. Sometimes you need to just share and you know, offer up helpful advice to people and let them know that you care about them. You're creating relationships. And I was consulting for a franchise gym company. And one of the franchisees got a time slot of 15 minutes on our local radio station. And now, if any of the other franchisees in the organization would have gotten that 15 minutes, they would have been screaming, "Come to my gym, become a member, work out, you have to exercise." Instead, what she did is and you know, these are great for the economic you know, situation we're in right now. She offered up recipes for healthy food that you can cook in a few minutes without spending a lot of money. Well, that turned into more members for her gym than she could have possibly imagined. That, you know, instead of selling, she was offering up something of benefit to people. And they appreciated it, and they remembered her brand.
That is great. That's a great story. The, you know, the book, Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees and Small Business Owners, is a fabulous book. There's a wealth of information in there. You guys have provided a wealth of information today, and I'm sure people will look at it and spend some time. But, you know, once that information is available to them, can they just stop there? Or should they look at your workshops and webinars? What's the difference between the book and the workshops and the webinars?
Actually getting people to develop good habits and take action. You know, reading a book is great. I read books constantly, reading blogs, reading, you know, stuff you put out there. I mean, it's very successful. We have CDs. We've got a 7-CD series titled The Same, Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees. It's on CD, comes with an 80-page workbook. This is something that companies use a lot in their training, and we want them to do that. You know, people drive around so much these days. The CDs can be listened to in the car. And, again, I believe that we need to make our car a university on wheels, constantly learning. We learn new things every day. Eddie and I are big believers in continuing to grow and expand. The workshops, you know, they're just high energy, man. If there's any franchisees on here that, you know, have an annual convention coming up, we'd love you to share, you know, our website or whatever with your franchisor. We do annual conventions and come into regions and so forth, because when people leave these workshops, they leave with, you know, a 7-step marketing plan. They leave with a plan in place, and no matter how much somebody knows about marketing, there's always new things to be learned. And lastly, another thing, I would invite anyone to go to effectivemarketingtv.com. That's a new website blog that we created to there's like three to 5 minute video clips of us interviewing people and talking about different marketing ideas. You know, hey, here's how to do door hangers effectively, or here's how to, you know, do this effectively. Effectivemarketingtv.com. Just again, we like giving out free information like that, but, you know, check out the website, get us into one of your companies. We'd love to come be with you. The CDs, you know, are good for training your employees with. We invite people to, you know, use the stuff with their employees. A lot of times we think we're the only ones that need to know it, but our managers and supervisors and people within our organization, if they listen to this stuff firsthand, they get the ideas, and we get them on board, and they help push us to market.
And right, and what's the Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees website?
GMarketingStrategies.com. For GuerrillaMarketingStrategies.com.
And on that site, can they purchase the book and learn more about the workshops and webinars?
It's all right there on the site. We have contact info, you know, for Eddie to speak directly with and email back and forth. And we'd just love to hear from you, and anything we could do to help would be great.
And
real
again,
quick.
I'd like to reiterate that if you do a workshop or a webinar, we custom tailor that the presentation to your organization.
Great. Todd, real quick, because we're going to be, we got less than 2 minutes to go. Where does Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees go from here? Are there any future books on the horizon?
On the horizon, we've got some ideas incubating, but nothing probably within the next 6 months. I mean, we're focusing more on Effective Marketing TV right now, just because it's, you know, it's quick bullet points, quick videos people can watch. And that's kind of where the wave of the future is going right now. But we will eventually come out with another version of the book with probably more like 200 to 300 marketing ideas versus 100.
Well, Todd Woods and Eddie Leonard of Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees, I really am honored that you accepted my invitation to be guests today on the show, and like to have you on the show again down the road. Remember, everybody, next week we'll have expansion experts CEO Lizette Pirtle and Celligan CEO Matt Kelly as we discuss what it takes to start a franchise and the trials and tribulations young franchisors can expect to face as they get started and as they begin to grow their brand. to the entire franchise community, as always, thanks for listening to Franchise Today. Remember, today's show will be available on demand within the next 15 minutes or so. So tell your colleagues, tell your friends about Franchise Today. Until next week, I'm Paul Segretto. Have a great day, and please be safe.